Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million. Well, I'd buy you a house.
Well, and welcome back to Saxon Giants. I'm Tom Allen. She's Jay-Z. Jessica Zalewski on the board. SP Futures now up 8.25. They were down 13 last night. I'm not so sure it was the low, but that's what I saw them early. Dow up 77, NASDAQ futures up 47. I guess the reason for this is the China stocks are extending their Friday rally as the government continues to hint that they might do something to prop up the market. So we'll see if they do or don't. So you never really you never really know what those guys are doing. So it's here's one that says it may be a quick trade. However, if the Chinese government's efforts to boost the markets don't last, so. I mean, that's seriously why people are very concerned about being short. I mean, because when it happens, when the market starts to go down, just when you think you might be correct, some market somewhere, some government decides to pop it back up because they didn't go trillions and trillions of dollars in the hole propping up assets to let the assets go down. They're not going to go down without a fight. I'm not making any sort of disparaging comment on that or anything like that. I'm just saying that that is the truth. I mean, China government is not just going to sit there and watch their market go down, down, down because these politicians. Hey, Frank, how are you?
Excellent.
Listen, the politicians,
it was a great weekend.
Yeah, I'm saying the politicians, right, wrong, or in the barrel, are not going to let markets, when they've spent how many years now essentially pumping up asset prices, they're not just going to let them all sink in front of them and let them go to zero. I mean, we're not going to. The China's not going to. Nobody's going to. Because they start getting calls from people saying, hey, what the bleep? You know, I got money in the stack and I'm a 1%er, my stuff's going down. So the question is, can they keep them up? Well, first question is, are they too high to begin with? Nobody really knows that. People suspect they are a little bit if interest rates are going to keep going up. But then again, how much of a correction is there? Is there one? How propped up is it? I mean, these are all questions, right, Frank? But any market that goes up 6% in 2 days, it's not just a, hey, this stuff's a little cheap kind of correction, I don't think.
No, there's lots of money out there, and where's it going to go?
Well, there's, you know what, Frank, not to push back, but in my 35 years, whenever the market was down and people said, there's no money, where are they going to get the money for the market to rally? There was always money to rally. And now there's always money out there. There's always money. Where's it going to go? All I know is that if the market goes down 10%, there's 10% less wealth in the market than there was a week before. And there's margin calls and a lot of people with no money, depending on the stuff, right? I mean, money can, we know people recently, last February when the VIX shot up like that, they had several $1 million account and now owe the firm. So it can disappear fast if you get any kind of leverage and stuff on it, right?
I mean, yes, especially if it's futures.
Oh, God, yeah. Or options, if you're short options, same sort of deal.
For some reason it looks like the leverage is a bit more with futures and futures options. But yeah, you can truly leverage yourself.
You know, I'm not even sure. Boy, I should know this since I'm a Series 3. It's been a long time since I took the test. What is the short option on the equity side? Your margin's pretty close to being short stock. But I mean, if it's at the money anyway. On the futures, mm-hmm. On the futures side, is it pretty much the same as being short the future, which isn't a whole lot? Must be.
Well, being short the future, boy, the big difference is if we're trading the SPX, there's no hedge on it. Okay, no marginable hedge. While against the ES options, which is the future on the S&P 500, that is a hedge against those options. So if you sell one of those futures, it changes your margin drastically, but not as much as it doesn't change the risk.
Right. But I'm saying, say, for instance, let's make it easy. Let's say a bushel of corn. If you buy one bushel, the margin is going to be, I think it's, is it 2,000 or 5,000? I think it's 2,000. But if you lose $1,000 that day, you got to come up with $1,000. So I have to believe a short call or a short put has to be roughly the same as being short or long the future. I mean, it's the same trade.
Mm-hmm.
Because that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Same trade, right? With the people who run our financial system doesn't necessarily mean the same thing, does it? So what do you make of the weekend's developments? I mean, we opened down last night pretty heavy because the Saudi news kept getting worse, and all of a sudden the Chinese are pumping up their market. So, interesting day. I have to say, I don't know if you agree with this, Frank, being South Bend's sort of a Southsider, but kind of an Indiana Southsider. I don't know what that even means, but.
I'm a Hoosier.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. But let's just say when you get to the point where you're a guy like me, for instance, and you talk to people and you go into, you know, a certain place and you talk to the carpenter guys, you talk to the plumber guys, you talk to the people that are professors, it comes at a point where you reach the point where you got guys, right? I mean, and good, mm-hmm. and real guys got guys, you know. I got a flat tire from some guy who doesn't know anything about cars. Don't worry, I got a guy to take care of it. You know, what about my motor doesn't work? I got a guy. You know, I got a towing guy. You get guys, right? And I think I got as many guys as most people, maybe more than most. But I don't hold a candle to these Saudi dudes. They got a guy to come dispose of bodies. They got a guy. They bring their forensic guy in to, like, take the body apart so they can put it in bags. And they got a guy, a local guy, who, that's above my pay grade. I don't really have a guy for disposing a body, should I?
Back in the day you did.
What? I never really did.
You didn't know it, but you remember Corby's when you went there.
Yeah.
Harold, the owner.
Yeah.
Who owned it in the late 70s.
The guy who got bopped on the head? The guy who got bopped on the head?
Yep.
That he opened up the place in Carlisle after he recovered.
Yeah, oh, no, this guy, no, that was Joe. After Joe.
All right, I didn't know the guy.
There was Harold, who was a rep for the Teamsters in South Bend.
Oh, all right.
He got popped in the head in his basement, handcuffed to a pipes.
Ah.
It was that cop down in Blue Island who killed the woman who was on the board of directors of, what, Moraine Junior College or whatever.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Car and body in the sanitary ship canal.
That's right.
You remember
that? Yeah, once in a while you feel... I hate it when you...
Harold was the first guy to back me on the floor.
Don't you hate it when you're, like, driving a barge down the sanitary ship canal and you bump into a car with a body in it? Wrecks your barge.
It's horrible.
It's horrible. It's
even worse when you jump off the barge and, you know, to go swimming and...
I don't think anybody's swimming in the sanitary ship canal. Just saying, but there could be.
That's a Chicago thing.
But anyway, these Saudi dudes got guys.
Don't they though?
Yeah.
They don't have a story though. Well, they don't have the same story. Gosh, it changes every 12 hours.
I read a huge article last night on this Muslim Brotherhood and the history of it. It's pretty interesting. This Khashoggi was a Muslim Brotherhood guy, wasn't he? And all the different places kind of go in and out with these guys. And they're kind of purist, Muslim people that, you know, the religion's the big thing, and they're pretty into it. And sometimes the people, they were big in Egypt. Then all of a sudden, they overstepped their bounds. The guy who went in after, who's the guy who got murdered, in Egypt? The guy, the president who got assassinated. They came in after him, right? Then they got tossed out. But it's this huge...
Yes.
When all this stuff is kind of going on in the Middle East, and this guy wrote for the Washington Post, but he was a member, I guess, or he had the point of view of the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't know if he was an ongoing member or what he was, but I mean, the Saudis now are terrified of that because these guys don't like the Saudis, and because the Saudis have... And it's pretty, I read this, well, I'll dig the thing up here if I can find it. It had to do with, it was actually in some wacky, well, not wacky thing, but anyway, but they kind of go from country to country, and for a while they are, you know, they're big with the government, then they're not so big with the government, and the Saudis now are out because Saudis have become so much, it's not for the religion anymore, it's just for them. They want the power. Or the Muslim Brotherhood.
Oh, I think so, because the new crown prince said that he was going to moderate the severe conservative Muslim or Sharia law.
Yeah.
They were going to ease up and letting women drive, but nobody's really seeing it.
Well, no, that was all part of the smokescreen.
It's all part of the smokescreen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing how afraid Trump is of the Saudis, given that 2 weeks ago he said the Saudi kingdom couldn't last for 2 weeks without U.S. support.
Well, I mean,
I think Trump's living in mortal fear that if he does anything to the Saudis, the next thing we're going to see is $100 a barrel oil.
Well, that's right. I mean, he doesn't want to.
That might be a play if you think that something's going to happen here.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, but it also went, oil went down last week pretty heavy. As a matter of fact, I was able to get some gas yesterday at like, what, 251, 257, something like that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I paid 257, at, Sam's in, Northlake, Illinois. So actually in Cook County.
Well, I guess where I'm going with this, with the, he's got a deal right now with these guys, and there was some dude on CNBC. All he talked about was the arms deal and how important it was. And I think the population here, I mean, if you get your handle on it, which I spent 2-3 hours yesterday digging through all this stuff, if you get your handle on it, I mean, we've learned a lot on this show from Fari regarding what went on when the Shah was out of there and the money that, you know, that they still basically bitch about Obama giving Iran the money. Well, that was money, just as a review, that was money that they gave in progress payments for F-14s, and I think there was a destroyer in there, Frank, something like that. Some Navy stuff or whatever. And then they never got
planes.
To look. Now, here we took a shot on the Shah, okay, and for a while he was, other than Israel, actually even including Israel, wasn't he the biggest, our biggest arms sales guy for a while? So they didn't get these arms. Thank God. Because would we really want the Ayatollah with like 50 F-14s? I mean, for God's sake.
Do we really want the King of Saudi Arabia
well, that's,
to have 50,
that's my
you
next
know,
point.
F-22s?
Well, this is in our lifetime, Frank. So they're all of a sudden we picked the wrong. And at the time, Iran was our buddy, not Saudi. Well, Saudi sort of was. The Bushes liked them. But by and large, Iran was our buddy, right, when the Shah was there. And we were going to arm.
Both were.
Well, yeah, but we were going to arm the hell out of Iran. It didn't
right.
seem like the Iran-Saudi thing was quite too ahead at the time, like it is now. Okay, because they didn't have your little war going in Yemen. So now all of a sudden, we don't like Iran, and they're a bunch of no goodnicks in a lot of ways. And now we're squeezing the hell out of them, or trying to. And now Saudis are our buddy. Well, lo and behold, guess what? They have a new dictator, for lack of a better term, in Saudi, and the guy could be the next Hitler, for God's sake. He looks that bad to me. I mean, he's already wasted how many people? What kind of war are they doing in Yemen? He puts all his brothers and his cousins and stuff up, tortures them in a hotel for 6 months. The world just looks the other way. Now, all of a sudden, we feel obligated to arm this guy? I mean, we need to arm him like we need a new behind, for God's sake. I mean, why do we want to send him?
The president did say this in the past 3 or 4 days, who knows which day it was, that it would be bad to cancel the arms deal because it's good for the economy.
Right, but do we want to arm this guy?
Well, what kind of judgment is that?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Fine, we'll sell Hitler the Zyron gas because it's good for the economy. Now, you're going to get a lot of tweets on that throwaway line. Sorry about that.
But I mean, I was going to say, what if we decided to sell the Japanese four aircraft carriers in 1937? The Battle of Midway might have gone a lot differently. I mean, you know, you got to be careful when you do this stuff. I mean, who are you selling this to? Of course,
there's
it's good for 50, business.
50,000 Yemeni citizens have died. And whatever's going on there, I'll plead ignorance. Maybe Fari's our man to explain why that's going on.
Well, we've done this, when I say we, the collective we, I honestly do believe, Frank, it was explained to me one day, actually by a former Catholic priest of all things. Some people are going to say, geez, our chief really lost it this morning. He was an economics teacher in Korea. And he told me after many cocktails, in our time, the U.S. is the world's greatest place to live. But boy, when you get overseas, you see what people do overseas. It's not the same thing. It's like the arm of our big corporations, and they don't care who they mess with. It's not the same country. You know, it's not the same country. It's like Trump asking if this guy was a citizen as to whether or not he deserved any sort of human rights. You know, come on. You know, I mean.
What? Trump, you know, when you get a CEO, and that's what people said he was, he comes with corporate values. Now, when you talk about corporate values, maybe the biggest oxymoron there ever was.
Well, that's
right. It's right up there with military intelligence.
One of the most interesting things that I've seen in life. In life, was that for a statement, Frank? Is how people who will never lie to you personally and anything to do with you or them will absolutely lie to you about their corporation. Oh no, we don't pour stuff in the river. What do you mean? I'm watching you. You know, I'm watching you do it. Oh no, they can't be right. They can't be us. Yet the same person.
There was somebody in the union that did that.
Yeah, a lazy person in the union. Yeah, but. Anyway, I mean, I don't know that we need to start arming these people. I mean, I was reading, I get hooked on YouTube once in a while. Well, a lot of these historical pictures are dramatic. I don't know who puts those things together. You see these cars and these people. The other day, Frank, I was listening to one about how do you start a Model T. It's about a 10-step process. I didn't know that. Where the throttle was and where the clutch was and all everywhere different than where you think they would be. I mean, no way you and I could drive one without like serious lessons to get the damn thing started. Anyway, they were talking about Smith and Wesson, which were the best revolvers in the world. You know, in the years they all came about. The first thing guys did was Smith and Wesson went over and sold, I think, to the Russian army something like 30,000 of these things. Now, can you imagine the difference of a 30,000 person army or 40, whatever the hell it was, with repeater six shooters versus not, in terms of how deadly they were, or Winchester rifles versus one bullet at a time? I mean, it's unconscionable. I'm not saying it wasn't good business. I'm sure it was. And Colt, most of your collector Colt guns. I mean, this is how far back this goes. See the ones with the incredible, you know, pearl handles and all that stuff? You know what those were mostly for? The really artistic ones? You'd go over to some stupid prince over in Europe or someplace, and you'd say, and you'd make those a gift to the prince, and then he'd say, yeah, these are spectacular. By the way, don't you guys think you need to buy like 5,000 or 10,000 for your army? Oh, yeah, sure, we'll do that. And they essentially bribed the guy with a gift. I mean, this goes back, I mean, we're so used to selling stuff to people, and it's good for, sure, it's good for business. For God's sake, selling people, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever you want, you can sell mustard gas. It's good for business if you're a mustard gas guy, right? It's not so good for the world. I mean, right, do we have any moral? We need to cut this thing back. This guy has no more business with F-35s than you and I do on a machine gun on the top of a Suburban, for God's sake. Matter of fact, I'd rather have you or I with a machine gun.
Well, you know, we know a guy.
Yeah, we got a guy. Well, you know, I bet we could get a guy to do that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be simple.
Yeah,
we know a guy. They know a guy. He's Donald Trump.
I know.
That Khashoggi's cousin was the biggest arms dealer in the 70s and 80s.
Did you?
Adnan Khashoggi. I don't know if you remember that name.
Oh, yeah.
In the 90s, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was He was the guy they sort of always portrayed on NCIS as the guy they were trying to kill, right? the big arms dealer. It wasn't a name like that. Was that?
He was the dude. Yeah, and he was quote unquote, legal in quotes. Yeah. I have a great picture of my roommate from Notre Dame with Adnan Khashoggi. My roommate ended up being in charge of jet engines for Pratt and Whitney.
That's interesting. They're part of UTEX, right?
I don't know who they're part of anymore.
I think it's UTEX.
These companies moved around, but I think you're right.
We have a question. What's his question?
Well, it's a statement and a question, but Kevin O'Neill tweeted and he said, money to Iran comes up on Stacks and Jacks periodically. He understands that Iran had claim to it from the 1970s, but nobody has explained why the Obama administration tried to keep it a secret instead of being transparent and explaining the reason why it was included in the deal. Why did they cover it up?
That's a good question. I'm not so sure what the, I'm not so sure people can understand it. I don't know. It's perfect to me. I always sort of knew it. I don't know why, because maybe when it happened, we were in college, Frank? It was a long time ago. When did the Shah get
moved? You might have been in college. Yeah. It was, late 70s.
But I think the reason is, to be honest, and Kevin's probably not going to like this. I think here's what happened. We might as well start from the beginning on this one. When you do contracts, and I used to do contracts at Pullman for railroad cars, there's two types of ways to do contracts. All right, you can with different prices, by the way. If you were to come to Pullman and you say, all right, I want to buy 100 railroad cars. And now you're either gonna make Pullman get all the financing, especially when interest rates were 10-12%, or you're gonna finance it for them, okay? And there's essentially two. One is all you're doing is building. You don't have to go out and get this huge loan. You don't have to do those kinds of things. So I believe that it used to be, Frank, 10% of the day was signed, 10% when the major drawings were in, and other 5% when the first thing was delivered, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line was you were never supposed to be cash negative. You're supposed to be somewhat cash even all along the way. And then when you got paid for each plane, or in our case, railroad car, you got there was 50% of the price left you got paid for the car. Okay, so you got paid all along the way. You didn't pay when it was a 100-car deal. You didn't get paid when the 100th car showed up. All of a sudden you get this check for, $100 million. That's not the way it worked. So the same thing on this deal with Iran, and I don't know who made the F-14, Frank. I said it 100 times. Was it McDonnell Douglas? I'm not sure.
I don't know. It seems like everything's General Dynamics.
Might have been General Dynamics.
I have no idea. I'm not a plane guy. Grumman made the Tomcat.
Well, okay, that's the F-14. So Grumman then. So they sent someone his money over, and it was something in the term of $100 million. And people were actually producing these planes. In the meantime, the Shah gets tossed. So far, I could actually tell you that a couple of them were sitting on the dock in Baltimore, ready to be loaded onto planes, and they never got on the ship. They never got on the ship. So the money stayed here. I think, to be honest, and I don't know the answer to this, I'll bet that money stayed with Grumman and those people. They were able to sell those things somewhere else, maybe to us for a discounted price or whatever. And when the money went back to Iran, I'm going to guess the federal government paid them. And they didn't call up Grumman and say, where's our $30 million? Send it. That's my suspicion, Frank. And that's the reason why it probably wasn't as well publicized as maybe it should have been and totally rationalized out. Now, Kevin may totally disagree with that. Either way, I don't agree with that. If the money went to those firms, they're the ones that should pay it, right? I imagine they had to sell the planes for somewhat of a discount, maybe to us. But, there's some history of what happened there at cash. But from the Iran side, the fact is, they sent us whatever the number was, $30 or $100 million, and they never got their planes. Now, it's a different Iran, okay? So now Germany has all these gold-backed bonds that were sold over here in the 20s, and they just reneged on them. They said, well, that wasn't us. We're out. Okay, so we could have just said, you're not the same people. You know, bring back the Shah and we'll give you your $100 million back type of thing. But we didn't. But this has been a huge bone of contention. You know, people have a totally different view of things when they're owed versus they're paying. Wouldn't you say, Frank?
Right. And part of the reason we sent them the money was a settlement.
Right.
Because it was going through adjudication and in The Hague, or arbitration, I should say. And the U.S. was afraid that they might get whacked. Iran was asking for $10 billion.
Well, they were looking,
they were
looking for interest.
Afraid they might get that much. So they agreed to $1.7 billion. It's much like the same way the Chicago Police Department settles with people that cops shoot.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
Which we've spent $600 million on in the past 15 years.
That's a pretty dramatic amount of money. But I think that was S&P futures up 975, Dow futures up 90, NASDAQ futures up 49. A lot of this because the Chinese market's up 4%. China's decided they're going to prop their market up a little bit. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Well, everybody, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Honest. Jay Z on the board. Mr. Frank Fahey on the phone. We have Mr. Brendan on the phone a little bit. SP Futures is up 10.50 now, Dow up 103, NASDAQ up 57. We're kind of putting the whip to it. If you'd have sold futures last night, you've basically got them stuck 24 hours where the sun don't shine. A lot of that is due to the Chinese market running up, which we'll talk about in a second. Over here, we got the DAX up 73.6%, FTSE up 47.7%, CAC around up 18.4%. The markets in Europe have been following us, sort of, but they haven't been anywhere near as volatile as ours. I'm not exactly sure why that is, but they have not been. They've been going up and down, but not to the same extent. Nikkei up 82.4%. Shanghai up 104.4%, 2654. They were back there under 2650, or 2550, now back over 2650. That's what a 100-point move will do for you. Hang Seng up 591, 2.3, 26,153. They're still down, but that's a big bounce back. Oil is up a dime, 69.22, so not much movement with all this stuff on Saudi. Actually, it's way down from when we're going to squeeze Iran, which is supposed to start, I believe, November 4th. Brent up 13 cents, 79.91. Natural gas, 3.22. RBOB, 190. 2.51, I got gas yesterday. But it's a lot better than 3.10 or something, just saying. Gold down 2.30. Silver unchanged. Copper up 3 cents. Kind of bounced up with the Chinese economy. Stock market, but still way under the $3 it was a little while ago. Jay-Z, what do you have for us? Trevi, Weather Sports, Dub Bears, where's my Super Bowl tickets? I'm giving them back.
All right, I'll take them. Anyway.
They're not going to go.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you didn't specify what team.
Oh, all right, okay.
You just said, where's my Super Bowl tickets?
All right.
Anyway, good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:36. We've got a nice fall day today here in Chicago. The sun will be shining, and we have a high of 62, low of 39. Phoenix is partly cloudy with a high of 86 and a low of 69. After an up-and-down performance yesterday, the Bears did lose to the Patriots, ending the game 38-31. In hockey, the Lightning beat the Blackhawks 6-3, and there are no accidents to report, but heavy traffic on all inbound expressways downtown. Back to you.
Some interesting games yesterday, Frank. Did you watch any of them?
I watched more games on Saturday than yesterday. Yeah, I did watch some games yesterday. I was watched the night game last night. That Mahomes is great.
He's unreal. Well, that, you know what though, that team is so good that yes, he's good, but it's hard to tell how good. They kept talking about how many more 300-yard games in a row he's had than like Roger Staubach. I mean, why don't you put Roger Staubach behind that line and with that running back, he makes a few throws too. Just
well,
saying.
The game's changed.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
The skill set's changed. It's changed in the past 5 years.
Well, the main thing is you don't let anybody touch the quarterback, but that kid doesn't get touched anyway. He's got such a quick release. But, you know, you don't get to touch any of the receivers. Virtually the offense has every rule change.
Well, I mean, we're seeing the same thing with Trubisky right now. Every week, he's the first person that did this. He's the first person to do this, you know, since Sammy Baugh. Or whoever, you know, the whole laundry list, 50 attempts, 50 completions, whatever. I mean, it's amazing.
I mean, it's the first time.
And it's the change in the game, not the change in the talent.
First time a guy has passed two balls to the left and two balls to the right with his jacket on backwards. Just saying. These statistics come out of nowhere. You wonder what they're even talking about. But they come up. They keep coming up. But what is the story with Ohio State and Purdue? What was that all about? Did you watch any of that?
Oh, boy, that was the high point of my weekend. I mean, you hear people talk about how great Urban Meyer is, but boy, his team's got, you know, stunk up the place in Iowa last year, and who killed him the year before?
Was it Penn State?
I mean, embarrassing things. Even Kelly doesn't do it to us. He may have done it with Tulsa 10 years ago, but jeez.
It
really warmed the cockles of my heart.
I got to ask, is Purdue any good? What was their record? I thought they were terrible.
Ooh, Purdue?
Yeah.
They started out 0-3, and then they went 3-0. Right now they are. They've improved dramatically.
Well, the first three games were against really good teams, too, right?
It's the coach. He has an offensive plan that works, and it's that little guy who was the halfback, jeez, or wideout.
Oh, Billy's going to be happy.
5'7", 170. Boy, he was great.
Wow, Billy's going to be happy over at the series. He went to Purdue. He swam there, I guess, but he was telling me they're going to be lousy. But they lost their first three games to pretty good teams, though. They didn't play chumps, I don't think. There might have been one chump in there, but. But that is interesting. Now, the Irish keep moving up in the polls by default. They didn't look all that good last week to all of a sudden be third in the country. Just saying. But I don't think everybody's falling apart, except for Alabama. Well, you definitely, if you get in there.
Well, they have a good defense, which helps.
Yeah, it does. It helps some.
And, beginning of the year, everybody talked about how Notre Dame and Michigan stunk. Jeez, how'd they end up third and fifth in the country?
I'm going to – Joel, he's going to be – if he's listening, he probably is. He's going to be all over me tomorrow. But how exactly in this world that we live in I didn't tell you, once in a while when I drop Greg off, I give him a ride home, or my attorney buddy who comes on the show once in a while, there's a little place right by him, the Club Lago, which has been there a bazillion years. They got a great little bar. And we stop once in a while, and there's a – all the people who hang in there are either retired architects or attorneys. I don't know. They must all live in the area or something. But it's interesting.
I love Club Lago.
Well, especially the guys with the architects. They're a riot because they'll tell you about every building and the graph behind it. Anyway, there's one lawyer guy, and he's like this broken-down attorney kind of guy. I mean, he just like kind of hates the world, but he's saying, he goes, you know, I cannot believe the world I'm in. He goes, nobody has any morals anymore. Everybody lies. I mean, on both sides, whatever story you're in, whether it's a divorce case, whether it's a property case, whether it's a criminal case, there's zero respect for the truth. The judges, they don't care either. He goes, I never thought that this is the world I'd be living in. I mean, he goes, there are zero morals and there's no adults in the room. I want to ask. I mean, I read just a little bit of it, the fight of the Michigan State game. If I'm, you know, this is why nobody wants me to do anything other than do a podcast, or manage their money, which is good too. But how the hell, if I'm the chairman or the, what do you call the guys who run the university these days? Chancellor? I don't know. What are they? What's it?
Whatever.
How does the guy not suspend that player for 2 or 3 weeks and suspend Harbaugh for a week? For those that don't know what happened, I don't have the absolute whole story. There was this fight between the Michigan State game, but one of the Michigan players goes out on the field in warm-ups and starts using his cleat to tear apart the emblem in the middle of the field. You're a guest at these people's place. How the hell do you do that, Frank? And somebody not have the decency to say, no, you're not supposed to do that. No wonder you have people like Jerry Sandusky and people like that all over the place. These university presidents, are they eunuchs or what? Does anybody not have any balls anymore? I mean, I don't know if I should say that. Is a football alumni that much you can't even? Do you think Ted Hesburgh would have put up with that?
Well, what's Michigan State complaining? I went to a game, and it was 13 years ago, 2005, and the big stink about it, Michigan State planted a flag, a Michigan State, you know, that Spartan flag,
yeah,
in the ND in the middle of our field.
But I'm saying, Frank, it was...
Well, they did the same thing, so who cares?
Well, I'm
it's
saying,
only entertainment.
Well, they're... planting a flag in the grass is one thing, but going and actually scraping the emblem off before the game, I think, is a little much. We're making every attempt to.
It's the exact same thing to me.
To you, they scrape.
No difference.
Well, I also saw on Twitter people were complaining that they were even celebrating over the logo. They were like, wow, they're so classless. People just wanted to, like, hate on them.
I think it,
yeah, they walk on it. They walked, stepped on the logo.
That's on the field, so...
How's that different than planting the Spartan
flag
in the ND, in the middle of Notre Dame's field?
Maybe this guy's right.
By Michigan State. I'm not going to listen to it. I'll listen to it. I'll be amused by it.
I'm going to... Right, maybe this guy's right. Here's my very, very moral friend, Frank Fahey. Instead of just agreeing with me, say, you shouldn't do that as a guest. You named somebody else doing something as bad 13 years ago. That's a justification?
Oh, right, butt push. No, college rivalries go on forever. That's the type of stuff you did.
I think there's a limit to what you do.
I've heard Ohio State fans complain about Bill Shakespeare, scoring three touchdowns at the end of a game in 1938.
Well,
this is a different environment.
Well, I mean, at some point, there's a limit to what you do even in that environment, in my opinion. You're a guest at somebody's place, so you should act like one. Just saying, I'm not saying you shouldn't play hard.
Oh, no, I don't disagree. I agree with you on your point, but Michigan State does the exact same thing. Under the same coach, no less. So the coach, if it was a different coach, that'd be different.
All right, hold that thought, Frank.
It's hard to take that seriously.
Hold that thought. SP Futures up 975. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. the daily news, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Al. This is Frank Vage. This is Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures up 975. Dow futures up 100. Nasdaq futures up 55. So we're following China's lead, 54. We're following China's lead here. They turned the market. I saw us down 13.5, Frank. What was the low? Was it lower than that? Last night we opened.
I don't know. I was sure it was going to be just a horrible week.
Well, it might still be, but... You never know.
I have no idea, but I could check my charts here.
Check your charts. The charts don't lie, as they say.
Well, as Bob Fisher once told me, you may remember him. He used to smoke up in the members' lounge. Sat in front of the screen smoking cigarettes. But Bob's first day on the floor was October 29th, 1929.
Really?
His comment about charts was, every boat that ever sank had charts.
But they all have them.
They all have them. Of course, what was he doing in front of the the screen? He was charting.
Yeah. Jay-Z, to just show how the world has changed, if you were a board of trade person, you know, they were really big on the charts even more than the stock. Well, I don't know. I guess it was kind of the same. But they had all charts for all the different oats and the December corn and July corn. I mean, every Monday morning, if you were a chart dude and you did chart the commodities, you went down to the little, what do you want to call it, the cigarette stand and the newsstand downstairs, and you bought this huge book of all the charts. And it was like, you know, it was like regular paper, and the chart made it to like the middle of the page. Then you were supposed to fill in that week and the one you were dealing with. And next Monday, you went down and bought it. Like another one. That was before anybody had any computers or anything like that. I mean, all the stuff was done by hand, right, Frank? I mean, but then at the beginning of the week, somebody would put it all on paper and you could start. So you only had 7 days of your own chicken scratch. The rest of it was like a real chart, right? It was the way, those guys got to be long out of business or else they're online someplace. I mean, who the hell knows, but.
Well, we had the guys that would come down to the floor every day that'd give you, new support and resistance numbers for whatever stock you were trading.
Oh, yeah. And who was the guy first out? You saw Dick West?
And they were done in pencil and copied. It was pretty amazing stuff what they did.
That's what David used to do. He had a bunch of guys on the Merck floor were his, what's his name? Who's the guy who, was the chairman? Was one of his big clients. The guy was long wrong.
These guys were good.
The guy with the 7 adopted kids or 11 adopted kids. What the hell is his name? The Jack Sandberg. Sandberg? The guy was the boxer?
Right, who married a woman from Mishawaka.
Yeah.
Things that we Hoosiers know.
Oh, God. I don't want to get into the politics of this stuff too much, but, you know, we have a president, and every president, not just this guy, every president is under the gun. And, actually, Kevin's question of earlier, you know, I don't know. Why do you think, Frank, that just in general, I mean, why do you think that when Obama did that, or anybody did it, Carter, Reagan, you name it, when you do something like that, when you give the money back to Iran, okay, then there was the issue we gave them cash. Well, the reason why we gave them cash is because we don't let them in the international settlements. You literally can't write them a check. Which,
Would they take a check from us?
Well, that's another story. But why do you think that we don't have the habit of the president saying, okay, Frank, write me up exactly what we're doing and why, and make it a half a page in a whatever New York Times, of course, then nobody believe it, fake news, and just put the damn thing out and say, this is what we're doing and why. And if you're going to take a shot at me, at least understand what we're doing and why. Why does nobody do that? I mean, I think it would make it better. I guess maybe most people think it would make it worse or something, because you actually put something down on paper. God help you if you do that. That's the one thing about
it's
this.
It's a spin, Tom. If you don't want to tell the truth, you want to put it in the best possible light possible and make yourself the hero of the story. It's called spin.
Well, I mean,
we work so hard, we're so smart. This is so wonderful for the American people.
But
you got to do it every time.
But my question is regarding Trump, and I want to get into a huge. The demands on this guy are getting pretty dramatic. I mean, we've got people from Central America trying to go through Mexico to get to here. It wouldn't be that big of a deal, except he's made it a huge big deal for 2 years or 3 years, so now it is a big deal. We've got this thing happening over in Turkey. We've got the Iran thing. He's trying to squeeze them. The market's not looking so hot. He's got this China thing going. I mean, there's all kinds of crap going on. Is he coming unglued? I mean, we have nothing but essentially potential real trouble spots. This weekend he was talking about people rioting in cities in California. There's no riots in California. What is he talking about? Did you read any of that stuff? That people in California...
Yeah, well, he's talking about mobilizing the U.S. Army and send, not the National Guard, we're going to send the Army to the border. Now, I have a question. Isn't there a law against using the United States Army internally?
Yeah, but except
I may be wrong.
Except, you know, the big guy who did that the one time and got away with it, Caesar. When you came back with the army from Rome, you were supposed to leave it on the other side of the Rubicon, and he brought the army in, took the place over, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And but Trump's not going to take over the. The U.S. Army. Right now, there's a new poll that came out last week. More officers are against Trump, disapprove Trump than approve him. It's like 41-31 right now. And the spread for enlisted men went from approximately 13% down to 6%. More of them approve of Trump. So he's losing support within the armed services.
Well, one of the things you get when you do a show like we do, or host a show like I do, the constant, bizarre as it may seem, Frank, the constant thirst is when you're doing the show and somebody has questions, you immediately buck up against something you don't know, and it happens a lot. I mean, it happens a real lot. Even if you try and keep up on stuff. Now, my first thought when this crap is happening in Honduras is, okay, I know Venezuela is turned into a bleep hole because this guy running it, there's no money now. The money is like the Weimar Republic. Money's worth nothing. And they're trying to issue a new currency based on oil, which is not going to work. Brazil has had nothing but problems. Argentina, not so hot. I guess I'm going to have to get the Journal of Political Economy, where they tell you what's going on in every country in the world. I have not heard of, Frank, I have not heard an article, I have not read, I have not heard an outpeep on any of the shows. What is Central America like? Is it as bad as I think it might be if these people are pouring out? What is the economy of Honduras like? Is it as bad as I suspect it is? How do you even find out? I mean, you don't just start the story with several hundred people on a bridge. That would not, and nobody would want to roll out of bed tomorrow morning and say, get the family together, whatever you can pack on your back, and let's go sit on this bridge, trying to get in Mexico. By the way, it's got to be, 800 miles or 1,000 miles from the bottom Mexico to the border here, and knowing you got a country at
2,000 miles.
2,000 miles, okay.
And they're walking.
And all of a sudden you get here, you know you're not welcome. My first question is, how the bleep bad is it in Honduras? I'm going to guess bad, but you don't hear of the things you don't hear about. Even somebody like me who tries to read this stuff all day long, I have no idea what's going on in Ukraine. Nobody talks about that anymore. Does anybody know what's going on in Yemen other than it's a bleep hole? I mean, I have no idea what's going on in Central America. Is all this stuff as bad as I think it is? I mean, or isn't it? I mean, it sounds to me like
it must be. It must You're be. Right. Why would you march 2,000 miles with a Mickey Mouse backpack on your back for the whole family?
Yeah.
And no water, no money, if things were good.
I mean, it has to be...
How much is George Soros paying these people? That's the question, Tom. Yeah. That's what we should be asking.
Oh, yeah, what about the liberals dragging them on up here? But, I mean, I understand there's a conundrum here. How's that for a word on early in the morning? There's a conundrum here. You can't just have an open border to where, no matter how any other country screws up, their safety valve is to send 10 million people a year up here. But we know that that's not the solution. But we also know that this is America, and if people are sitting on a border in deep trouble, guess what? You know, that's not what we do. Kick them back. So the solution has been very, very difficult for like a long time. Am I right or not? I mean,
right. And the solution is not mobilizing an army with automatic weapons.
No.
To turn these people back. What are you going to do if they say no?
Trump should have been a bartender. I don't care where you go, you just can't be here. S&P futures up 13, Dow futures up 132, NASDAQ up 64. Putting a whip to it here. Oil only up 2 cents. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR. Innovation in Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's John@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomashi, JZ on the board. We must be futures down up 10, 75. Dow futures up 102. NASDAQ futures up 59. We were down, we have also Mr. Frank Fahey and we have Mr. Brendan Cornett calling in. So we'll have Frank for a few more minutes. And, so Frank, while we still have you, hi Brendan. What do you think about trading this week? Everything seems to be a fade, but the question is you can't fade it too quick or you get caught pretty good. Are we just going to all of a sudden start the rally here into the election, or no? I'm sure that's what...
Oh, it wobbles.
Yeah.
I mean, the Shanghai index is up 7%, and people are focusing on that because they always focus on the good things. It's still down 25% from the beginning of the year.
How much do you think the...
That doesn't sound like an all-clear signal to me.
No, but they have a history. They have a history. How many years ago was it where they were arresting short sellers and everything else? I mean, they have a history when they decide they want the market to go up. They do everything they possibly can to get it up. Right? I mean, it's not like it's a new game with them. I mean, they haven't mentioned anything like that yet, but when was that? That wasn't that long ago. What, 4 years, 5 years?
No, I don't remember when that was. I'd look at oil right now.
Yeah, I think
we have Saudi Arabia, we have Iran right now. When those sanctions go into effect, it sounds like that oil may be withdrawn from the market, which could goose it up. But if we upset the Saudi Arabians, who knows? There's lots of things you can do, but diversify. Well, don't put it all in one basket.
Are you a little bit surprised that? We have Brendan with us as well, I think. Are you a little bit surprised that last week at this time, or maybe 10 days ago, I was talking about 85-hour oil because that's all I was reading? This is before any of the stuff with Saudi started. It was just Iran. And then, in fact, we were down, what, $7 last week or 5? 5 to 7? It was down almost 10%. And I never dreamed. Good thing I had puts, Frank. I mean, because, boy, I would have been stone cold long in there, and I'd have been wrong. But now... Probably you want to be long here at 69, Riverwood Oil is at 69.14. I think you probably do want to be long here, but I want to be long at 74. Oops. I mean,
that's why we use the Stocks and Jocks risk avoidance of BTI Securities.
Yep, that's right.
That's why you have puts.
Well, thank God, because.
Protect us from ourselves.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? Frank, thank you very much, buddy. Have a good week. Maybe we'll talk to you later if the market's all over the place. Hi, Brendan.
Good morning. How you doing, Chief?
We're doing good. So you're in from Michigan this morning?
Yeah, it was a long drive in. It had a little bit of a mix-up. I didn't see the light on, so I didn't go upstairs.
Ah, well, we were here. We were here in your
back here now.
And your coffee's sitting right here. We'll save it for you for next week.
No, good.
No, we won't do that. Anyway, what do you make of all the crazy stuff? Yeah, by the way, did you see all those riots in California Trump was talking about? Did you see any of that?
I heard about the hardened criminals coming across in the caravan, including all those three-year-old kids sleeping with their parents.
Brendan, I was talking right before you came on that, as all this stuff is happening, and I don't have a problem telling people strengths and weaknesses because you know, when you're on a trading floor, you win one day and you lose the next. You get pretty good at saying that, you know, that you make mistakes, and it's pretty obvious that you don't know everything. Because if you did, you'd be down there 6 months and you'd be, you know, you'd be living in Tuscany or someplace, right, in a nice big big shack. I have, when all the stuff started to come from Honduras, Brendan, I haven't heard the name Honduras since, you know, since grammar school geography, for God's sake. I mean, I have to believe that Central America is not doing so hot. But how does anybody even know? I mean, we have something in, that we still, I suppose, have called the Monroe Doctrine, right? And, but do we, I mean, who's even aware of how these other places are doing? I know South America with Venezuela, Brazil with the oil going, having issues, whatever, we're putting people in jail.
You know, well, we don't have a lot of news reports coming out of Central America, although, you know, occasionally when the reports do come in, they do talk about a lot of poverty and a lot of things where the people really are struggling. And for political pressure, there's been a lot of murders and cartel activity that means people want to get out of there. And, you know, for a long, long period of time, America has been a home for refugees. In fact, I'd even argue that the beginning of our country was done by refugees leaving England.
Well, yeah, we didn't exactly get the best and brightest. If you had a big shack in London, you weren't coming over here and living in Roanoke, for God's sake, never be seen or heard from again.
That's right. Yeah, so, I mean, it's really an interesting shift in identification and policy for people, not only from Honduras and Central America, but also other parts of the world, and where the immigrant population has been to get our country right away. Now, obviously, it's not everybody who comes across as an immigrant or as a refugee is going to have a successful second or third generation that is going to, you know, start corporations. But I think the preponderance of folks coming in are looking for a better lifestyle, the same as my parents did. I mean, both of my parents were Irish immigrants. They came to this country in the early 1950s. After having gone to Canada to get a better lifestyle for themselves and ultimately for me. And I think that almost every one of us can go back a couple of generations and find out that our ancestors were doing the same thing.
Well, there even, I don't disagree with anything you say on that, but it seems to me that at least mentally there's a difference, Brendan. I mean, just in terms of let's go back to Ellis Island, right? I have the records, or actually my brother, I think, does, of the Italian side coming through there. As for the Irish side, who the hell knows? We lost all those records. Everybody died young. But the Italian side, we can tell you the day that people came through. It's all done through Ellis Island, and you showed up, and you had to have I don't know who was here before, but there was a connection in Columbus, Ohio. So if you go to Columbus, you'll see the Abruzzi Club, whenever I get down there on Friday night, we go and hang out with the old Italians, and the women are playing cards, and the guys are playing bocce ball, and everybody's arguing and drinking wine. It's a good time. But the people from that section of Italy had a foothold, shall we say, in Columbus. And when you showed up in Ellis Island, you said, okay, who do you know? I know, you know, Pasquale in Columbus, and he's a cousin, and I'm going to live with him for a while. Okay, so you went. So there was some, shall we say, I don't know that we ever left any steamship hanging out there saying, we only take two a month and you're number three, you know, sit out there, you know, 12 miles out and until you die or something. I don't think we ever did anything like that. But there was, at least you could feel that there was control on it, okay? At least you had some idea who was coming in. You know, I don't know how much ID you actually did have, but at least you had some idea. There were forms. There was a process. You had to have procedures, right? You had to have supervision, and we had that.
I disagree with that. I think that was true for a lot of folks. But remember the derogatory term of a WAP without papers that, you know, related to just one type of immigrant clan, but also was fairly universal that a lot of people came in without papers, and they got off the boat. Yeah, and it's easier to track people coming off of a boat on Ellis Island than it is crossing a border like Texas or New Mexico or Arizona or California. However, you know, I think that there's still a lot of folks who got into this country that avoided that process.
I don't disagree. What I'm saying is
And also there were a lot of you know, there's a lot fewer people in this country with a lot greater need to dig ditches like the Erie Canal and the railroads going across the country.
Maybe, maybe not. Everything seems pretty messed up to me. I mean, if you double his gas tax, I think there's a lot of work to do. I think that this is where I totally disagree with, not you personally, but I think that there is so much work left to do in this country. Now, I know the work I've done in my place, the 100-year-old four flat in the last year and a half, and I can tell you, Brendan, that not every single, because a lot of them are new, house in this country, every single road, every single bridge needs work. And this is not work done on computers. And
I agree.
And I'm not so sure all the railroads don't need work. Almost like, not like when you put them in. No, but I guess my point I was trying to make before is that it's still not the same as having a country like Mexico, which, to put it bluntly, has somewhat of a population problem. Everybody, it never ceases to amaze to me, Brendan. I mean, everybody, I think everybody likes to think they like sex, but boy, I see these pictures in Africa and people weigh like 105 pounds and there's flies all over their face and they're all standing there holding three kids. I mean, good Lord. I mean, I gotta believe the sex drive's strong, but, I never thought it'd be that strong. I'm not so sure that would be me, but my first thought it would be, whatever. Nobody wants the idea. What I'm saying is, having a bunch of steamships come in where you have a modicum of control, like I said before, in your mind you have control, even though there's a lot of people without papers, I agree. It's not the same as, oh, if Mexico has a bad year, or if the government continues to screw up like they've had for 100 years, and nobody has a job, and oh, by the way, they can't control the drug cartel, we need to take tomorrow the population of like 12 cities. That's not the same thing. You have to have, you know what I'm saying? The next person, I'm not going to turn back, but I also know I really don't want 15 million people tomorrow. I mean, so I don't know where the right and wrong is there, but
I agree with that. I agree that there needs to be controls on immigration, but I also do not agree with the idea that everybody who's trying to get into this country is a hardened criminal or is trying to game the system. I think, you know, if you look back, I mean, even for our ancestors, generations who came across because of the potato famine, they were trying to escape poverty,
Brandon,
and just trying to survive.
Those are insane comments.
Every wave has something similar to that. That they, when the mass of their immigration came over, there was a reason for it.
Those are insane comments by a guy who has absolutely no business in that job. On a personal level, he may accomplish a lot, but he has ripped the scabs off. Of course, he's no worse than the Homeland Security Act when, the thing's 9 bazillion pages long and Bush's buddies, all they did was say, man, you ain't voting for it? You want your mother raped by some guy with a rag around his head? Well, no, not exactly, but can I at least read the bill and see the good news and the bad? What do you want to read it for? You know, now we're with that. We have people in North Dakota that are convinced they're going to get raped by some guy coming across the border in the Rio Grande. Come on.
It's nonsense.
Yeah. It's total
and
nonsense.
You also have people who say that my job is going to be taken over by somebody who's coming from Central America. Again, ridiculous because the skill set isn't there. I'm afraid more of the hyperbole that's being shouted upon by many people that are anti-immigrants. Now, of course, I agree with your comment that there has to be some level of control. There has to be a way to discern who really is a refugee seeking asylum and who is not. But to classify everybody as a hardened criminal who needs to be stopped is just ridiculous.
Well,
I take offense from that, especially because my parents were both immigrants, and I know some of the struggles that they went through trying to get into this country. I also know to the point you made earlier about your ancestors who came across and had a contact with Columbus. There are a lot of people in this city who came from my father's hometown and my father's county in Ireland who were his generation or slightly after him. There are young guys who came over from Ireland who stayed with us. We guaranteed them a place to live for the first 2 years that they were in this country. We gave them a bedroom in our apartment so that they had a stable place to live. We sponsored them for that purpose. And, you know, that was part of the whole process, that if you're going to come to this country, you had to be able to have a job lined up, and you had to have a place to stay. And oftentimes you'd see the Irish guys who were doing construction or doing manual labor in some other area, and they were living with somebody who had been here a couple of years before them to pass along the torch to get them into this country for a good job. Now, and a lot of those same guys went on to good careers, and a lot of them started their own businesses. Winston Sausage on the South Side, for example, you may know about that place. I mean, it was a butcher shop started by Mike Winston, who came from my father's hometown. And when he first came over here, he worked construction. I knew him as a young man. And you know, there are a lot of stories like that about people who came across and wanted to come in to make a better life for themselves.
There's a huge disconnect, Brendan, and I'm not about to call. You know, you're never going to call another human being lazy. I mean, because they probably aren't. And since you don't even know them, you shouldn't be saying stuff like that. But there was a time in my neighborhood about, I'm going to say 7-8 years ago, and I don't quite know. This was probably before, right before the market crash, so maybe 9 years ago. And for some reason, 3 or 4 people on the block were all having these major renovations, you know, busting through the basement and making the bottom floor a duple, whatever. Because they're old homes. I mean, they're all 100 years old. So virtually every one of the carpenters working there was Russian. Now, why? And I'd say hello to the guys and so forth, but my buddy, two doors away, my attorney buddy, Bill Murphy, one of the good attorneys, Brendan.
One
of the good ones, yeah. And anyway, Bill's
all those SOBs, except for the one that I know who really breaks the rule because I know him and I know
that's right.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So, but he says to me, I walk into the Tripoli one night of a beer, and Bill sits down next to me and he goes, you know, I was talking to these, one of these Russian guys. And I said, well, what's going on with them? He says, you know, the dude says to me, I forget who was the president at the time, it was or the mayor, somebody was bitching about immigrants. And he goes, I'm here. He was on, was it a green card? I don't know. He wasn't a citizen. He says, I work hard. We do a pretty good job. He says, I don't see anybody here. I don't see any American showing up saying that should be my job. I don't see anybody. We go to the union hall. There's nobody there. He goes, it's not like there's any competition. We wherever we go, people want to hire us. It's not like anybody's shoving. We're not shoving anybody out of the way. We're not flattening their tires. And he goes, and now everybody, there's nothing but bitching at me about why I should be here. He goes, guess what? I have just as much demand in London. The pound is going up every day. The dollar is going down. You know what? At the end of the month, I'm going to London. See ya. He's right. It's not like there's a bus coming from Inglewood or someplace every morning with guys coming out with their hammer and saw. And I'm showing my age with a hammer. Nobody has a hammer anymore. But everybody that I hire is you know, they're all citizens, by the way. Full disclosure, they're all Hispanic. It's not like people are muscling them out of the way. What are you doing hiring those guys for? I mean, they show up, they work hard. I mean, I'm not so sure that if you went to the South or West Sides or any place that you would and all of a sudden said, well, yeah, we're gonna redo 2 lock and dams in the next 10 years on the Illinois River. We need 200 carpenters on each one. I don't know that anybody jumps on the bus, Brendan. I mean,
no.
I mean, we have a, I don't know if it's a drug problem, it's an education problem, but it's not like, I remember, you know, I don't want to throw Matty under the bus because I love him. And those guys were all out of work in 2008, you know, and they were just out of college and so forth. I said, you know, I bet I could find a couple of painting jobs for a few weekends. I said, I'm getting up there, but I'll teach you guys how to do it. I'll do all the running. I'll show you how it's done. I'll pick the colors. Oh, chief, we don't want to do anything like that. Well, what do you mean? You're sitting home broke. I bet I can get some jobs. I mean, I can get you guys $25 an hour. I mean, I'm not going to make money on the deal, but it's better than sitting home. You know, I was worried about people drinking too much and everything. Oh no, we don't want to do that. Fortunately, everybody found jobs right after that. But why not? I did that when I was young, college. I remember I had a paint job. I was right with them. I mean, how much am I making? You're going to pay me $12 an hour? I'm there. Where's my painter's pants? I mean, you know. I was a little thinner and more agile, but, you know, it's okay. I could probably still do something.
I saw the same thing. I mean, I saw the same thing, especially with a lot of guys that came from parts of Ireland who would do anything to make a buck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and legally, I mean, they would do hardcore construction stuff. They'd be the guys, you know, schlepping around the wheelbarrows to different parts of the construction site, anything just to get their foot in the door, and they would work hard. And, you know, you mentioned like a stereotype of people who are lazy or uneducated. I was just having this conversation and driving in from Michigan today, you know, in the Irish context. It wasn't that long ago, a few generations, you know, where the Irish were considered uneducated and lazy. But oftentimes there's a language problem, especially if you're talking about people from Central America or Russia or different parts of the world. It's not that they're lazy. They you know, they're uneducated. And like in the case of the Irish, if you go back several generations, when the British came into Ireland and destroyed the Irish language, didn't allow people to get educated, and you know, kept them in a situation where they couldn't advance themselves. When they come over to a country like the United States, there's a learning curve to learn language. You know, if you're Russian, you learn a language here, and it takes some time to understand what's being said. It's not that you're not willing to do the work, it's you just don't understand the direction that's being given for a while. So, you know, there are different things here that are at play here that doesn't mean that they're necessarily the stereotype just because they're not responding as quickly as you want them to.
Well, I actually, there's some of my best buddies, I'm a little light with the criticism, but some of my Hispanic friends that do some work, they'll say that they're like their son-in-law, they need to learn English.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, well, then what the hell are you doing talking Spanish to them?
Mm-hmm.
You should only talk English.
Yeah.
When my grandfather was one of these, he was an odd duck, but talk about not coming through the system, Brent. I think that when he came here on a visit with his uncle. I think they had some money. I think his dad was a mayor in some place in southern Italy. Don't know if he was in the mob, but the deal was that the oldest son was supposed to become a priest, and my grandfather was number two. And somehow or another, his brother died. I don't remember, I got the whole story. And so he came over with the uncle at age 12. He ditched him. He just left. The uncle went back without him. You imagine taking your nephew on a trip across the ocean, coming back without him? How your brother would be pissed off. Or maybe he wouldn't be. I don't know. Maybe he didn't like me. But so he ended up being he worked on the railroad as a water boy when he was 12. Mm-hmm. And he ended up getting this job, that job. And finally he gets married when he's 21. And he's got three kids in the first 3 years. And he buys, and his wife, my grandmother had a store. And then he's, you know, in the house, and they had a boarder, and he's going to school at night, taking like mechanical drawing and everything. But he would not allow Italian to be spoken in the house. We're in America now. And he absolutely refused. Instead of moving to, over by Taylor Street in those areas, he moved to Englewood, which was all kinds of different nationalities. There wasn't like one nationality in Englewood because he didn't want to live with the Italians. He said, if I want to live with the Italians, I would have stayed in Italy. Okay.
Yeah.
And I never heard the man speak one word of Italian, ever. Mm-hmm. And the only time it was spoken is if my great-grandmother showed up when I was a little kid and she couldn't speak Italian, and he'd just, like, shake his head and walk the other way. But, I mean, people had, these were, and he voted. He was the first guy at the voting booth. I mean, he thought being here was the cat's behind. I mean, he thought this was the...
It was.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, that's from my experience for a lot of folks that I know who come here from another country, who are the immigrants, and their children. A lot of their children really appreciate what this country offers.
Well, I mean, if I'm, you know, I'd have to bring you and Frank with me, and we have to bring the rest of the gang too, be a committee in the Oval Office. My first thought this morning is, I want a meeting at 8 o'clock. Where the hell is the person who's the Central American expert at the State Department, if we even have one anymore, because they laid all those people off? I want to know what in God's name is going on in Honduras. How do we solve the problem at the other end? So because there is no solution here, especially after you've done nothing but yell and scream about people coming up here, and now here's 200 people on your doorstep daring you. There's no solution. Mm-hmm. He's got himself boxed into a corner. But I want to know, okay, what's going on down there? And you know what, Brendan? I'm not a, as you probably have guessed, I don't like many laws. I think there should be only a few laws. But the ones you have, I think a law implies enforcement. I don't like being on the expressway and having somebody pass me 100 miles an hour and never get pulled over. It's unsafe. Yeah. He's liable to kill me. If he just kills himself, I guess I'll feel sorry about it, but I'll get over that. But if he kills me or somebody I care about, then obviously I'm not going to get over that. Or maybe he kills me, I guess I will get over it. Who knows? But the point is, we have these drug things here. the Mexican cartels would not be the Mexican cartels if it wasn't for our demand for their product. And I know there's a lot of, and you could probably talk me into it. There's maybe we should just legalize this stuff and it wouldn't be so bad. But I also think the idea that we put young African Americans in jail for selling cocaine, but we will not put any rich white person in jail for using cocaine. I don't get that. If it's that big of a problem economically around to neighbors, I think we need to stop it. And the idea that, was it Whitney Houston? Was she the one who died from the, who's the one who died in the, and she, at the funeral, the guys who, all her ex-husband and everybody who gave her all the coke, they're all talking about her drug problems. The guys that gave it to her by everybody's are sitting right there. Why don't you show up and arrest them?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. The whole idea, I mean, if we don't think this is good for anything, I think we should stop it. You know, you stop the problem with street hookers by putting the guy's picture in a newspaper, right?
Yeah. Name and picture.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not big on laws. I'm not Mr. Enforcement, but if we need to stop this drug issue. It's wrecking countries. It's wrecking people's lives. Mm-hmm. And it's getting worse. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. So somehow you got to get everybody, we got to get people working so you have something to do during the day, and you got to stop this. I mean, and I don't know how the hell we're going to do it with this guy tweeting about riots that aren't even there. By the way, are you be careful, you go to California today, there's riot in every town. It's a sanctuary city. You know that. Is this guy losing it? I mean, is it to the point where somebody has to put a net around him or what?
Well, the scary thing is that people believe him without even a modicum of research to see what's true and not true.
Well, Brandon, you're not set up. Why don't you hang in a little bit? We have David, but hang in some. We're not set up to disbelieve people, especially our president. We're just not set up to do that mentally. When? Why would we be?
I know, but there's sometimes refer to the smell test. You know, somebody walk in. You know, something doesn't smell right here.
Hold that thought. We up. SP Futures up 12. Dow Futures up 113. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Ready to go. Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell, Mr. Brendan Carnan. It's David Adelman, and also with us in a second. She's Jay-Z on the board, doing a good job. I'll be calling in this morning. S&P futures up 12, Dow futures up 113, and the futures up 63. I just want to see what a wired Jay-Z is going to be when she finishes Brendan's extra large coffee in addition to hers. She'll be bouncing off the wall over there. Just saying. Oil up one whole cent now, 69.13. 10-year yield 3.18. So after its run up to 3.25, it's backed off a little bit, and it's really stayed here now for several days in a row. We keep thinking we're going to continue the run up, but so far it has not, and so it's stabilized the market in a lot of things. Even though it doesn't appear that stable, it has been somewhat stable. DAX up 74.6%, FTSE up 55.8%, CAC around up 19. When I say stable, we're down one day, up the next. Not the trend we saw when it just was going straight down. Nikkei, here's where the numbers are. Nikkei up 82.4%, Shanghai up 104. It's 4%, 26.54. I think they got down to 25.40-something, which was a multi-year low. Hang Seng down 5.91. Up 5.91, 2.3%, so a big rally there as well. Not as much as the Shanghai. Said oil is quiet, up a penny. Brent up 13 cents. The spread is now $10 and almost 80 cents, which is pretty darn high. Natural gas 3.17, RBOB 190. I'll report very nicely that the prices here in Chicago are down like 15 cents on the week. That's always good, especially when you got a big old junker like me. Gold down 3.20, silver unchanged. Copper up 3 cents, which is a pretty good move in copper. Jay-Z, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 7:35. We've got an ideal fall day here in Chicago. Clear skies and a cool temperature. Today's high is 62, low of 39. Phoenix is partly cloudy with a high of 86 and a low of 69. Yesterday's performance was intense, but the Bears still lost to the Patriots, 38-31. In hockey, the Lightning beat the Blackhawks 6-3. Finally, there is a disabled vehicle blocking the left lane on the I-90 at North Ave, but nothing else to report. Back to you.
The quick football story. Did you guys watch any of the Dallas game yesterday? It was after Dub Bears?
No. Well, I saw part of the game. I was at a restaurant over in Michigan, but I saw part of the game. It just seemed like Dallas came back. What was the final score in that? I didn't see the final score.
They were down by three. They went to tie it. And they got this field goal kicker that's made 16 in a row. So they did the same thing the stupid Bears did last week. The
missed it.
Jay-Z just said the score was 27-17. Where they got the thing in the middle of the field. They had another play they could have run. They got another 5 yards or whatever. And no, they stuck this guy with like a 47-yard kick. And even though this guy's real good, it's still not a 100% or by any chance. No, and so he whacks it the last second. The thing hooks and whacks the upright. So if they'd have got him literally 3 more yards, it'd have been through. Huh. And so they lost to the Redskins in Washington, and then the one last night. Boy, is Kansas City good enough or what? Are they look like the team to beat, or am I just imagining here? Did you watch any of that, David?
Rams are undefeated.
They are.
I will pat myself on the back. I take credit for losses, but after week one, I said the Rams and the Chiefs were the two best teams.
Well,
the Chiefs are doing this without Nagy as their coordinator, too.
Yep.
Yeah, well.
So much for that, right?
Well, remember the story when Charlie Weiss left the Patriots to go to Notre Dame. The Irish were, they stole Charlie Weiss from the Patriots, and I don't think Belichick even saw him for a second. I mean, he didn't miss him for a minute.
I don't think Belichick misses anybody like that. He just moves on right away.
Well, that's right. Did you guys, somewhere in here, and I'll get it in a second, but did you guys check out what Belichick's first game was? That he ever was a coach?
He was a charted plays or something against the Bears. Was it for the Browns?
In the Soldier Field, I think it was, I'm not sure what the team was, but he looked for tendencies. And
yeah.
This is in 1975 in Soldier Field. And so I went in and I looked at the Bear team. And this is before they got good. Look at the rookies they had on this team. First of all, who was the Bear coach? Ding, 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 ding. You guys have any idea?
75, that wasn't
Gibbon,
was it?
No, it was Gibbon was right after Halas, right? This was Jack Pardee. But look at the rookies they had on this team. Walter Payton, rookie. Roland Harper, rookie. Noah Jackson, rookie. Mike Hartenstein, rookie. When we had like a 15-year career. Virgil Ivers, rookie. Doug Plank, rookie. Bob Thomas, rookie. These are all. I mean, this is incredible that these guys. Bob Emilini, rookie. The people he had on his team, like I said, Mike Hartenstein, Greg Latta, he was a tight end all the way through the Ditka era. Johnny Musso, remember him from Alabama? He never did much in the pros, but he was Dan Pfeiffer, the center. Reeve Sorey, Roger Stilwell. And Bob Thomas is still a Supreme Court judge, isn't he?
He is.
And, I mean, that was, that had to be a Jim Finks draft. It had to be. You can tell there were never guys that they drafted, but they had Lionel Antoine on that team, and they had Wally Chambers. I mean, I think they made the playoffs. Then Pardee quit, right? Then he left.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, long time.
Was that when he went over to Washington? Did he go to Washington after the Bears?
I don't know. I know he just plain quit the Bears because he couldn't handle Halas. You know, he just didn't like the family thing, and he just left. Jack Pardee.
I think he went to the Redskins as a head coach after he left the Bears.
Maybe, but you know, he was, and I mentioned this last week, but he was one of the Junction Boys. The amazingly as it may seem, remember the movie with Tom Berenger, where mm-hmm. Bear Bryant took the guys off, and they all he did was beat the crap out of them in the Texas heat. And this is when he was at A&M, not when he was at Alabama. And Pardee's famous line was, "Why, you were one of the tough guys that hung in there." He goes, "I wasn't tough. My parents split up and moved. I didn't know where to go back to." Which I, all right, David, got
to
talk markets, buddy.
Wasn't he a linebacker at one
point? Oh, God, he was. He was on the.
In his playing career.
Was he the Redskins or the Rams? He had a terrific career. I don't know if he was
the Rams. He was with the Rams.
He was with the Fearsome Foursome, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure. Is he in Hall of Fame? If he isn't, he's borderline.
I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame.
No, I don't think so.
But he was top shelf. He was like a Doug Buffon type of guy. Dougie was still on that team, 1975. Our buddy Doug, who passed recently, what a nice man that guy was. I mean, he was on the trading floor for a while. We were pretty good friends when he was down here, and then he kind of wandered off and obviously became a broadcaster and everything else, but he was pretty successful. Nice guy. I got a quick boy talking about a horrible story, but it has to do with football. This one of the guys, my friends from the trading floor, he's a little younger. Anyway, went skiing a couple times. I used to play basketball with his older brother, but his younger brother, a week ago Friday, hangs himself. You know, horrible deal. Yeah. He was having, you know, these antidepressant drugs and this and that, and calls his buddy up and says, I'm having trouble with these things. Can you come on over? And he comes over and there's the guy dangling, right? But he played football for Marist and for, I'm not sure if it was Marist. Anyway, for one of the high schools in the South Side, and then he played college football someplace. And they sent his brain into the thing. They think he might have been affected with the concussions and
with
stuff.
With CTE?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that, it doesn't bring him back. But I think there's maybe more to surround than we think, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I wonder, what do you suppose the, you see everybody, I hope everybody notices it, everybody's wearing these new style helmets now that are supposed to give a little more. The old style helmet, although they didn't care what happened to your brain, all they cared about was you're not getting a cut, right?
Right, that you didn't fracture your skull, they didn't care about the brain. But I think, you know, the same thing is true right now. The brain moves inside the skull, and that's what causes a concussion.
Right.
It's not whether you dent your skull or fracture your skull. It's really the movement of the brain inside the skull, inside that hard shell that causes the concussions. And you look at a guy like Corey Crawford, who had a concussion last December and has been out now for 10 months playing hockey, not even the collisions of football.
Well, they look at the guy.
He's back now, though.
Yeah, the guy from the. Well, look at the guy from the.
He got a win.
The guy from the Cubs, the catcher retired. Some people, once you get a couple, I think you have problems. You keep getting them. Not so sure why. Why do you suppose that is? I mean, not being a doctor, but it seems like people who have had a couple early then get a lot of them. I mean, John and Pete both played ball, and Pete says he had like multiple of them, and John claims he never had one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so David, what do you make of this? I hope you were buying last night. Where the spoons down? 13 at their lower, or were they lower than that?
Let's see. Yeah, they were like 20, 18. Low was 27.49.75, so they've come up 29 handles, and they're up 11 and a quarter, so 17.75.
Mostly due to the Chinese government allegedly getting involved in the market again?
Well, I don't know if they've gotten involved in the market. They eased things by, you know, whatever, financial restrictions and money flows and reserve requirements and things like that, so they're trying to ease it. I can't tell you one way or the other because it's not well publicized. I don't think they're as committed to actually buying shares as Japan, but they might be. That I don't know.
What do you make of...
Japan just out and out says, you know, we own 25 to 30%, which probably means 35% of the top 25 capitalized issues. They're not ashamed.
When you say... ease the reserve requirements, those kinds of things, which essentially means let them spigot out on the money supply again. I don't know. I mean, it's 1975. I'm sitting in Milton Friedman's class, and all he did was talk about you can't let this happen because the fix, it's like the party that goes on too long and the hangover is just too big. And yet we let it happen time and again. I was sitting Saturday with some people from the real estate industry, go figure. Significant others in real estate. They're all pissed off at the Fed. You know, Trump should be, they're all Trump supporters. Trump should be jumping on the Fed. They got no business raising these rates. It's screwing the housing industry. For God's sake, guys, that's why. If you went back to the radio show or the podcast, 15, 20 years, I said, you can't let this happen because when you do, the fix is so bad. You screw industries, you screw people, you have somebody buying a house, and a year later it's 30 grand lower. You can't do that. You blow these asset prices up, especially the stock market. The guy who makes the money has to pay taxes. The guy who loses the money doesn't get a tax write-off. I mean, it is so skewed. That's why you cannot let it happen. So now, China...
Well, how could you anyways? I mean, let's just say for sake of argument, Trump wanted to do it. I mean, they've discussed, does he even have the legal authority to fire Powell, number one? If it did,
no.
I don't think he does. And if he did, it would cause, and even got away with it, you know, the panic, I think, would set the market down. But so he doesn't really have the power to do it anyways. So
well,
even if, quote-unquote, he should, he couldn't.
Well, but my point is...
It's a real lame argument.
But everybody knows... I'm going to say that. Everybody should know that when you go to an excess of any kind, then when you bring something back, you have somewhat of a problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, this is in all walks of life. I mean, you eat too much, you can't eat the next day, or else you're a fatso, right, baby?
You get too heavy, you gotta cut back.
Yeah, it's, so, everybody knows at some point, you wanna sort of, I think, everybody should know, that you wanna normalize some of the stuff. Why should people that have money on PTI get less than 3%, like we used to get? I mean, obviously by our IB platform, you're starting to get some interest over there, but why should, for a long period of time, people who have money not get paid for somebody else to use it? I mean, you don't tell the beer people they got to deliver stuff to the saloon for free. I mean, everybody gets paid along the way. So so what happens is, it's not like, even Trump is not so dumb where he knows this isn't going to happen at some point. He just doesn't want it happening before the midterms, and maybe he doesn't want it happening. These guys have pushed it for
2020. He does. Yeah. You know, he's living for, and his pronouncements are to benefit him in his position right now. And that's true of all presidents.
Oh, sure.
Not Trump, but every president has had a problem with the Fed moving rates up or down in a way that seems to be counterintuitive to what they want to do at the time.
The only guy, and I'm not going to ask anybody to put their arms around Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer, or whatever. The only guy that I know of, that I've read about as a president, was that his people came to him when they put Paul Volcker in office, and they said, we can either start doing this now and put the country in a recession in your last year in office, or we can put off the policy changes for like a year and do it after you've won your second term. And he said, no, the proper policy is to just do it now, start pulling this money supply out, and that's probably the reason why he didn't get elected. But he actually chose that. I mean, yeah. Whether the Fed should have given him that decision in the first place. I mean, I've read stories that said the most political animal that Washington has ever had was Alan Greenspan, the guy who's supposed to be apolitical, right?
I mean, he's the worst.
Yeah, but everybody, they just don't want it. I mean, does anybody go back to the Bible? I'm not a big Bible guy. Does anybody really? How much bitching do you think Moses got the day the manna stopped?
But you know, on the other hand, I get what you're saying. You know, you go overboard, you got to pay. You eat too much, you got to cut back. You don't. You spend too much, you got to rebudget yourself. I get that, and yet economies change, digitalization, robots, etc. Things do change. And so that's going to have an effect on employment or whatever. I think I'm not going to sit here and make a judgment. I'm not a banker and I'm not an economist. So I'm not going to make a judgment that, you know, the Fed's too aggressive or whatever. But this old quote unquote normalization, their normalization traces back to the 70s. I mean, I may have gone to Indiana for my MBA, but we used the Harvard casebook. And in every finance thing, it was, 2 to 3%. You know, GDP growth, 2%, inflation or less. That was the Fed's mandate. It's still the same mandate 40 years later, and that's normal?
I think it probably...
I don't agree.
I think it should have been the mandate in the 1600s. I mean, the idea that you have...
The U.S. economy didn't exist then.
Okay. Well, yeah, they did. You just were a bunch of Indians here, and they probably had an economy.
There was no banking system.
It might have been better off.
It was harder.
Yeah, but why should you should, the interest rates, like anything else? This is the part that I don't know. For some reason, it has been drilled into me. It wasn't like I figured it out on my own. Money is a good just like anything else. It derives its value from its scarcity, and the supply and demand for money is what causes investments to be made or not made. And why should anybody get in the middle of it for an incredible period of time? And essentially the decision was made, I believe, back in 2008, was we need to get more capital in the banks, whether they needed it or not, or they should let some of the other banks just grow up to be big banks. They made that decision. Then they had one or two ways of doing it. One is we can float money into the system to absolutely screw depositors and break the promise we made savers and retired people, and we can get banks the money that way through profit. Or we can go out and let them raise the capital. And somebody decided, let's do it the other way. I mean, it is unconscionable to me that there are people that have 15, 20, 5, 8 grand in a bank, in a deposit, in a savings account, and have a credit card, and they're 2 days late, and they're paying the equivalent of 50% interest on that month because of the late charge. And it's the same person scalping themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, for God's sake, you're going to do that to your population? Just uh-huh. so you can get banks refloated and making sure they never lose a paycheck? I mean, how long does that last?
I don't know where usury laws used to be. You know, you used to have those limitations on credit cards that, you know, I forget exactly what it was, and they adjusted. At one point, it was you can't charge more than 12%.
I'm going to say.
Then I think it went to 18%, and then all of a sudden they just disappeared.
No, I don't think they disappeared at all. I'm going to say, Brendan, you know more about this than me, I'm going to say the usury law in Illinois is still 12%. And you're going to find every single credit card bank is in Carolina or in South Dakota or someplace where there are no usury laws. And the Supreme Court said that the Illinois cannot enforce their usury laws from banks out of state, I think is what happened. Am I right?
I think you're right about that. That's why you see so many in certain states, that they're all, you know, like Delaware for corporations, because the corporate law has been so well settled there and as opposed to other states.
Because yeah, I'm going to say the Chase credit card that you have, David, or I might have, or what, even a Citigroup I have from Costco, I'm going to say that I get that bill from Carolina or someplace. Because I think New York has usury laws as well. I'm not positive about that.
Yeah. But a lot of states still have them. Illinois still has usury laws, but how effective they are, I mean, there are ways around them. Like you just said, the cars are designated from certain states, and the laws of those states rule. In fact, in your credit agreement, you know that fine print that you see when you get a new credit card?
And nobody ever reads.
Goes on forever.
And if you try to, you literally need a magnifying glass to even start to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's right. And try to comprehend what it says. But buried in there are things like that you agree by the laws of the state of South Dakota or North Carolina, wherever it's founded, wherever the bank is, that you agree that the laws of that state will apply. And it also usually has things in there like you agree to arbitration, the binding arbitration. If there's a dispute between you and your credit card company, you're foregoing your right to sue them in the court of law. Instead, you're going to go to binding arbitration. And oftentimes there are arbitration clauses that say who selects the arbiter, and it's usually not you.
Well,
interesting.
It's all been like that, and to where they just get around the whole thing. Matter of fact, the best day I ever had in the trading floor. Talk about bizarre things. And I could probably go back and find this if I research. Actually, David, you could do better than me because you would know how to research the market better than I do. But there was a Friday afternoon in the summer, and it was expiration day. And Bush 1 was in office. And it was, I never left the pit once I got down there. And I never left on expiration day because that's when I made, you know, that's when I made most of my money. Because when the runoff and the OEX, anyway, long story. I could talk about that one of these days. It's a story unto itself. And it's noontime, and I was actually entertaining thoughts of playing golf. It was that slow. And whatever these puts were in the book, and they're at a 16th, and the ones above them are at an 8th. And all of a sudden, this thing comes across the tape. Bush, considering nationwide usury law of like 12%, the market starts going basically in the crapo. And we were down.
Why don't you buy MasterCard puts?
Well, no, but I mean, I was in the OEX. I just, those, you know where those puts went out? The ones that were at a 16th? And I had a bunch of them? $16.
Oh my God.
And then all of a sudden, the market reacted. Now, do you think the population reacted negatively or the market reacted? So they punished the market. And on Saturday, the thing comes out from the White House. White House rethinking, you know, whatever the, interest rate thing, and on a Monday we came right back up. But it was an easy six-figure Friday for me. Those days were few and far between. I mean, you lost on some days too. So, but it was a.
Can you imagine the people who had in the money calls and chose to, you know, exercise those?
Well, you know, no, the OEX was cash settled.
Oh, okay.
So you were just out.
Right.
So I didn't even have to sell these things. And there were people who were long them at a dollar, couldn't wait to sell them at two, and I'm buying them at two, and they're already three bid, for God's sake. I mean, it all happened so fast in the afternoon. I mean, we literally had, you know, it was like a drain. I mean, and this is back when the OEX was, you know, I'm saying it was 200 and something. It wasn't 1,000 like it is now. But But I mean, these at a 16th, David, and I bought some of those. I only bought like 30 of them, and I didn't hang on while they were 16. So don't think for a second I was a total hero here. But I stood next to the put guy, and there was so much trade in there that the Pershing people were call guys, brokers, and put brokers. And I stood next to the put guy, and usually my job every day was to buy puts when the market went up. So virtually most days I lost dough. I mean, the best I could hedge them, I always started my day out with two or three crappy trades. Well, but then when we went down, it was kind of my day. It was my day. The guys on the other side of the brokers were, hey, what's trading over there? I said, look, the call days, you guys make over today, make all the money, today's my day. Just shut up over there, and man, I'll give you some if you need them. You know, you got to be a little aggressive on the crowd. I'll give you some if you need them. Otherwise, shut up and stay over there. I'm not so sure that's what the SEC wants to hear. But everything was open outcry, though. Everything was fair. But just when you're going down that fast, I mean, only the people in the pit, when you have the customer order books, you had an advantage on days like that.
Sure.
But not on most days. So, David, all right. Oil this week up or down? Last week down. This week, you got 10 seconds.
I like XLE.
Yeah.
I think the oscillators are all extended, and I truly think that at least the panic brunt of the selling in the indexes is, I don't want to say over. You might have one more washout, but I think that.
All right, bud, we'll talk.
Bottoms this week.
Talk later in a week. Thank you, Brendan. Good job, Jay-Z. With all people calling in, back tomorrow, Stacks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.